Well, good morning. It's so good to be back in God's house and to be worshiping with you all. Today, I prayed about this message, and this is what the Lord laid on my heart. The woman with an infirmity, and it comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 17 is the text today. And when you get to the scripture, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 10. I'll back up one verse. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, if there's something, Lord, that is bounding us, something that we've been carrying, maybe there's something sinful in the past, or something, Lord God, that we've worried about. Lord, if there's something that we're just dealing with and we haven't surrendered to you, then God, I pray today that we will turn it loose, Lord. I pray that you move upon our hearts with your love and with your power, Father. And God, speak to us today through this message. Let everything come from you through your Holy Spirit and not from me or my thoughts or my flesh. And God, we give you the praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. So, verse 16 pretty much described this woman's condition. And even in the start, for 18 years, this woman has been over. Could you imagine being bent over for 18 years and not being able to straighten yourself up? I saw a video a while back about a man, I believe it was in China, and they did show him, and he was bent over. He had a spinal disease, and for many years of his life, he couldn't straighten up. And then this doctor came along, and this doctor worked with him. They did surgery, and they were treating him. And they showed over time in this video that with therapy and working with this guy, they showed the final result. The man was standing straight up. And I thought, wow, that was pretty neat. So here we've got this woman with this infirmity of being bent over, and you will wonder, how in the world could something like this happen to her? Well, in verse 11, it says that she was bent over and could no way raise herself up, and that a spirit of infirmity had been on her for 18 years. Basically, Satan had this woman bound for 18 years. And you would think, well, where did this come from? Well, when Satan has a hold of us when we are bound, it comes from sin. It does. When we start living and giving into sin, sin can take a hold of us, and sin can affect us either physically, it can affect us spiritually, and it can even spread throughout our family, through our workplace. What we get involved with is basically what we become. Really. There was a time when I was a young man, we did a little skit at the church, and I was in the youth group, and we had this big, kind of like a big watering trough type thing, and we set it in the floor, and we took a big piece of poster board, and we wrote the word sin on that poster board, and we taped it to the front of that bucket. And this is kind of how the little skit went. One guy come down, and he looked, and he sees that thing, and it attracts his attention, and he says, sin. He goes, sin? I wonder what that is. I wonder what it's like. So he goes over to the little trough, and he takes his finger and says, well, I'll put just my fingertip in there. And so he goes and goes like that and says, ooh, that felt pretty good. He said, I think I'll stick my whole hand in there now. So he put his hand in there. He goes, wow, that feels really good. And he thought, well, I wonder if I just get my foot in there too. I wonder what it would be like. So then he steps his foot into the big pail, and he gets his arm in there. And then he brings his other leg into the pail, and he gets his other arm in there, and then he starts going like this, like he's dipping down and he's throwing it all over himself. He says, wow, man, this feels great. I'm doing what I want to do. This is my own thing, and oh, how wonderful it is. And then he says, well, I think I'm done now. I'm going to go ahead and leave. And he goes, uh-oh, I can't get out. He says, what have I done to myself? And he gets panicked. And he realizes the position that he put himself in is not where he wanted to be, but because he let his own intentions get ahead of him and he didn't think the situation through, well, now he's stuck. And then silently, another figure comes into the sanctuary. Somebody dressed in a white robe is Jesus, and walks right over to him at the tub. And all he did was he stretched out his hand, and that guy stretched his hand out, took a hold of Jesus, and immediately came out of the sin. So I say that to tell you this. When we let sin originate in our lives, it will take a hold on us and it will grip us. And we think that if we rely on ourselves that we'll be okay, and we're not. There's been so many times in my life that I have thought, well, I could do this, or I could say that, or I could walk this path, and I'll be all right because I feel good about it, and I'm in control, and it's all going to turn out fine. Well, you know what? I got snowballed real fast. So this woman, I don't know what kind of sin it was that got a hold of her life. The Bible doesn't say it in the Scripture here. But we also can go back and we can look at the woman at the well. The woman at the well had had multiple husbands, and at the time was also caught up in adultery. She was caught up in sin. But the happening that she came along, a Samaritan woman, to be with Jesus, who was a Jew, they didn't communicate with one another, but Jesus immediately recognized the sin in her life and just basically kind of called her out on it. And there were people who were wanting to stone this woman for her sin. And what did Jesus do? Jesus said, well, he was kind of drawing lines in the sand. And then Jesus said to her accusers, for any one of you that hasn't sinned, let him be the one to cast the first stone. And you know what? They all left. All her accusers left. See, Jesus doesn't want to condemn us. He'll never condemn us. But when it comes to having sin in our life, have you ever noticed that maybe sometimes there's people not there for us during those difficult times? Maybe people actually in the church house that they can't wait to go out and tell others what you did or what they found out. Oh, I got some gossip for you. And see, that sin goes from one person and we take it on ourselves and we start to do things with it that's not right. And over time, sin will creep into your mind and it will start to destroy your mind. It will, and it can get into your health and it can literally destroy the physical body. And we got the proof here because this woman was bent over for 18 years. Satan had a hold on her life. I want you to know this morning that if Satan gets a hold of your life and you don't have God in front of you, if you don't have the Lord protecting you and you are not relying on His strength and His victory, you're going to get trapped. You're going to get enslaved and ensnared. I spent a lot of years myself trapped in a spirit of fear. I did. I spent a lot of time, a lot of years worrying about everything. I was worried about what ifs. I was worried about the future. I was worried about, you know, life. What was life going to be like? Could I pay my bills? Would I ever lose this or that? Would somebody die? And consistently, day after day, my mind was filled with this constant fear all the time. And I couldn't enjoy life. And it eventually evolved from a fear and it eventually snowballed into anxiety. And I would literally lay in bed at night and shake because this thing had gotten a hold of me. And then I went to the doctor and I said, "Doctor, I feel like, you know, I'm losing control because my mind is just all over the place." You know what he did? "Well, here's a prescription." He says, "Go get that filled," and I'm not knocking this now, so I don't want you to take it this way. So I went to the pharmacy and filled it, and I started taking the medicine as it said on the bottle, and I never started to get any better. It continued on for a lot of years. And then from there, that snowballed into I was eating a lot. And then I got to the point where, and I was a preacher, okay, get this. I was a preacher. I was pastoring. And then I got to the point where I would go to the church office and stay a while, and I started to lose interest in the work. I started to lose interest in going and visiting. And I found myself hanging out with other pastors and eating more and doing other things. And then I found myself staying home a little bit more. I'd go to church on Sunday and preach, but I found myself not visiting others. And next thing you know, it evolved into another health issue. Another crisis come up. Things just seemed to be falling apart and going on around me. And finally, I came to the Lord and I said, "Father, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I just give all of this to You. I just surrender it. And I ask You to take it away from me because I don't want it anymore." I realized that I had became a bondage. Sin had become a bondage to me. And that's what I was living. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was speaking. And it had a hold of me for quite a few years. And then finally, the day came that when I decided to give it up, I asked the Lord to take over my life, to take over my mind. And it took some time, but each day I felt God at work in my life. And I'm telling you today, when I get up out of bed of a morning, I rejoice. I praise the Lord. When I go to bed at night, I lay down and peacefully I can lay there and go to sleep unless I've had some kind of form of chili or Mexican food. And then the acid reflux will keep me up for a while. That's about the only way I stay awake. But I gave it to the Lord. But it had me in bondage for a long time. And this woman was in bondage because of the sin in her life. And you know, all the encounters in the Bible when Jesus came to somebody who was enslaved to sin, do you ever notice in each story that Jesus showed up on time every time? That's right, Milton. He is an on-time God. Just like when Lazarus had died, the family was saying, "Well, Jesus, if You had only been here days earlier, our brother wouldn't have died." Well, I believe Jesus tarried where He was at to show them what a miracle worker he was. So whatever you go through in life, when Jesus comes to you and he's knocking on your heart's door, just like he came to this woman, and he just touched her and said, "Woman, you're loosed. Your infirmity is gone." And the Bible doesn't say it, but I wonder if she in her own self knew the Lord was going to be there and she went seeking him. I don't know, because it doesn't say in the scripture there. But could that be a possibility? It might be. But we know that when we have an encounter with the Lord Jesus, and when we cling to him, and when we live for him daily, then there's no place for sin in our life. There's not. I mean, we are in the flesh, and we're gonna sin, we're gonna fail. But if we stick to the Lord, if we read the Word and pray and follow after what he wants, then our lives are going to be a lot happier. They really are. Life would be so much more simple if we would just... I hear people all the time saying, "Well, I wish we could go back to this time period because it was things were so much simpler then." And I even would say, "Well, if you give it to the Lord right now, things would be a lot simpler." But you know what we do? We rely on this person. We rely on money. We rely on things, material possessions, to get us through life. That's what a lot of people depend on. People come to church, and I wonder how many times how filled they are with worry or anxiety or stress or whatever may be going on. Jesus says, he says, "Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, he wants you to take the yoke off. Have any of you ever carried something really heavy for quite a ways and it just tired you out and you said, "Boy, I can't wait to put this thing down"? You know, I remember going out with great-grandma and helping pick things in the garden, and she had such a row after row of green beans, and she would give me the big old... Does anybody remember the big old straw basket with the wire handles on it? Them things were big. And we'd fill that up, and she'd say, "Now carry that up to the house." And I'd be going, "Ugh." I was a skinny little guy, and I'd be fighting that thing. I couldn't wait to lay that thing down. In our life, we're carrying these things that weigh us down, and you would think we'd get to a point where we'd say, "Man, I can't wait to get rid of that. I can't wait to give it up." And the Lord is standing before us right now saying, "I want you to surrender it. I want you to give it up. I want you to turn it loose and let it go." Last night, I went to do a wedding for two dear friends of mine. And when the bride was all dressed and ready, she had asked me to come up and pray with her because she was very nervous, very scared. Well, there's a whole new life, a whole new change about to take place. She's never had a husband. This is a brand new adventure for a young lady. And I walked into the bedroom, and there was all the bridesmaids in there around her, and we all got in the floor, and we held hands, and we started praying. And after we got done praying, I'm telling you, there was a sense of peace came all over that house. And when it came time to do the wedding, and we got down there at the wedding spot out back, I watched the bride come out with the biggest smile on her face, confident, come down those stairs, walk down, and she stood face to face with her soon-to-be husband, and she smiled ever so big. And when I looked at her, I saw a new boldness. So what would it be like if we would take away the sin? If we would lay down the burdens of life, if we would give it all to the Lord, how much happier we would be. See, I don't depend on money. I don't depend on people. I don't depend on material things to get me through this life. What I do depend on is I depend on the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. He's the one that gave His life for me on the cross. He is the one that has gone on and prepared a home for me in heaven. And I know, even though I can't see an end result of something, I know that He has it all worked out for my good and for His glory. Not my glory, His glory. I'm going to go through some dark shadows. You're going to go through some dark shadows in this life. But He is the light in the darkness. He is the lily that is in the valley. He's the bright in the morning star. His name is Jesus. And at the sound of Jesus' name, every demon in hell will tremble. And one day the devil himself will bow at the feet of Jesus and proclaim Him King of kings and Lord of lords. And Satan will be cast into a lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. So this woman, all through life, 18 years, and sometimes I wonder, why do people hold on to things for so long? Why don't people turn loose? Because Satan is continually speaking to them through a person, through something that he's got a hold of them by. And we are at a point right now in our world that we need to quit reflecting on the news. I got a cousin that, but boy, she watches the news every morning. Got to have Fox on. And I said, why do you watch that? Well, I have to know what's going on in the world. I said, if you want to know the truth and what's going on, get in this word right here. Because right now, she's got a stockpile of paper towels and toilet paper and food and all these things, and she's got this shelter thing that now she's wanting to do, all because the world's going to come to an end, and what's going to happen to her? And she goes to church. And I told her, you need to trust the Lord. I don't know what you're... You need to turn that TV off for one thing. That TV can become an idol. If we make things an idol in our life, and they take a hold of us, they can wreck our lives something fierce. And that's where she's at now. That's exactly where she's at. But this woman, after such a time, when she came to Jesus, she experienced a change in her life. And it was a very quick change because Jesus spoke the word and touched her, and immediately she was let loose of her infirmity. And then, of course, here's people coming up telling Jesus, now what in the world? You know, there are 6 days out of the week. Why couldn't you have healed her then? Well, we don't get things by our timetable. And Jesus spoke the truth and said to them, well, don't you untie your oxen or your donkey and take them down on the Sabbath to give them water and take them back? And you quickly saw how they were put to shame. Now see, Satan is going to speak to us just like these people here. Satan is going to speak things to our lives because he wants to attract your attention to him. He wants you to have full focus on him. He doesn't want you to hear what God's saying. He wants your heart to be so bound up in these other things. But if we would listen to the voice of the Lord God, see, Jesus said, I have come to give you life. Jesus has come to give us hope. He has come to give us a future. I love Jeremiah 29:11. I won't even quote it. I want you to go home today, and if you don't even know what it is, you should. It's on cards. You see it on the internet. Jeremiah 29:11. Go look it up today and read it. Now, some folks might say, well, now that pertains to that area of the Bible. Yes, it does, but it also applies to our life. God wants good things for us. God wants us to live in abundance of freedom in Him. God doesn't want us bound to something else. You know, I used to go around, I kid about it now, but I used to say, boy, I'd love to have that old car. I want a 57 Chevy so bad, almost would want to do anything just to have one. But I started to realize was making that thing like an idol. And I started really, instead of reading my Bible, sometimes I'd get the iPad out and I'd be on there looking at pictures of 1957 Chevys and what's for sale and where they're at and could I get something to fix up or whatever. And it really consumed my time. And then I remember one day the Lord just knocking at my heart's door saying, well, what about me? What about me? Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't need, like I said, the things of the world. But what I do need is Jesus in my life. See, the devil wants to put us to shame every day. But if we listen to his voice, if we lean on him, and if we turn everything over to him, I mean, give up the worries, our minds are supposed to be filled with good thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, read that too. I read Philippians chapter 4 a lot because there's times that I do find that thought, well, what if? And I go, well, so what, Satan? What if? Because I know who's leading me and I know who's in control. I know who's driving my ship that I'm riding on, if I could use an analogy like that. I know who's in control. You know, sometimes when think of life is like this. When you get on a Greyhound bus, when you get on a train or a jet plane, do you ever worry about the plane crashing into the ground? Do you ever worry about the train derailing or the bus driver running off the bridge overpass? Do you ever worry about that? No. Really, when you go on a trip or the boat sinking, anything like that, you know, things like that never cross my mind. What crosses my mind? I'm going on a trip. I'm on a journey. And I know that when I get on that vessel, I'm going to take my seat. I'm talking to other people maybe around me. I'm thinking about what I want to do on this trip. I don't think about anything else because I have faith that the person controlling that vessel is going to get me where I need to go. I don't think of anything else. And yet, in life, we're on a trip, we're on a journey, and yet we worry about everything. Or we get consumed with other things in life. You know, like I told you, when I spent years living my own life before I got saved, and I was just a hateful person. Hateful. I hated people. I didn't like nobody. I didn't even like myself, really. But when I finally gave it over to the Lord and He touched my heart, I found a purpose and a reason for living. And you know, yesterday after the funeral service, we was back at the church and we were eating with the family and there was friends there. I saw some people I knew that I hadn't seen for quite a long time. And you know what? Everybody talked about yesterday. They just talking about Joanne and her relationship with the Lord. She's in heaven. That's all I heard. I didn't hear one negative comment. And I was just so happy. And last night at the wedding, just people enjoying life. Nobody was being negative. There was no fear, nothing, after the Lord had settled His presence there. Everybody was having a good time. So I say all that to say this. You can be bound to sin, but that's your decision, or that would be my decision to be bound to it. And what does it profit you? Nothing. It profits absolutely nothing to be involved with sin, because one day sin will be over. One day the devil will be cast into a lake of fire. He's already lost. He don't have any victory. He's already lost the battle. So you know what we need to do as Christian people? We need to start living victoriously and we need to start rejoicing. We need to take our infirmity to the Lord. And we need to say, Father, this is what I'm dealing with, or these are the things that I've been holding on to, and I give it up now. Because the longer you carry it, you know how Marley told Scrooge in the story, well, this chain I've got, that's what I forged in life, everything I did, and that's what I carry with me. How long of a chain are we going to forge in life by what we carry and what we do and how we act? Or are we just going to say, Lord, break these chains in my life. Break the chains and give me the freedom that I need. Because you know what? When you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you got everything you need. When you got this word, you got everything you need. His promises are true. His promises are faithful. And one day, whether it's through death or if I go up in the rapture, whichever happens first, I know, Brother Milton, that I'm going to get to lay that cross down and I'm going to pick up that crown of life and I'll never ever think again. I'll never even remember what life was like on the face of this earth because of the one that I'm facing sitting on the throne. How about you this morning? You ready to give it up to the Lord?